Well, good morning and welcome back. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer, and it is so great to have you with us. I'm joined by my friend, Dr. Bill Diamond, who is a clinical psychologist, a consultant, a speaker, and a writer. Bill has written a book with his colleague, Marcus Dayhoff, called Fire Your Excuses. And Bill, before the break, we were looking at the issue of social connections and how many of us lack those connections. I think I saw a study, and I'm not sure if I got this stat right, like 25% of Americans say they don't have one close personal friend. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. And it's getting worse in many ways. Let me tell you about the contrast in that, which is the good news is that I believe it was Buckminster Fuller who said, environment is more powerful than willpower. 3 years ago, I got a group of five other guys together to form a mastermind group. And we have a devotional component, but a lot of it's just business. You know, how are you doing in your business? Are you making good choices? Checking in with each other. And, you know, that group, which is a little bit different than a Bible study, it's more of a business group, has had a tremendous impact on all of our lives, our careers. Our wives are involved with that as well. But it really highlights this idea that you can try to make changes on your own. And I want to speak to the listener that has had a challenge. Maybe they wanted to lose weight. Maybe they wanted to do better in work. Maybe they've wanted to do better with their savings. But getting yourself surrounded with people that are doing it themselves and connecting socially has a profound spiritual, emotional, and other effect in many different areas of our lives. And I always say, and Marcus and I say this in our book, is don't spend another year trying harder. Get more connected. You're going to get where you want to get much quicker than having the best intentions, trying to fire those excuses, and just being dismayed by the end of the year that it didn't happen for you as a Lone Ranger.
Mm. So I know one of the techniques you recommend in your book is address your own isolation. Another is look at your level of personal ownership. What do you mean by that, Bill?
Well, there's a point where you have to say there's lots of factors involved, but I love what John Wooden says is don't let what you can't do keep you from doing what you can. And so sometimes we ask people, what do you think the chances that you'll be able to make this change? And people vary widely in their belief. And they talk a lot about, and some of the research about whether you feel internally you can control things or you're more of a victim of your environment. And I think there's a point where you have to say, you know, there's lots of things you could say. And at the end of your life, you could say, this is why I didn't do this or this or this. But we know that there's ways that we can begin to make changes, even if no one in our environment is making them. And that's why it's so important to surround yourself with people that are making those changes, because sometimes when you first start, you're the only one in your world that wants to make that change.
Such as a person who wants to quit smoking, but their partner is a smoker. That can really be tough. I've seen some of the research on that. And in reality, if your partner quits smoking, you have a much better chance of being able to do it yourself.
Absolutely. And I think it was Jim Rohr who said, you're the average of your five closest friends. Now, that doesn't mean that some of your friends need to get the pink slip, but you may need to spend a little bit more time with those who are making healthy life choices. If everybody in your world is exercising four times a week, even though they're parents, even though they're busy, then you know what? There's a good chance you'll find a way to do that yourself.
Another technique you mentioned in the book, Bill, is examine and grow your stress hardiness. What do you mean by that?
Well, there was some interesting research of who are the people that seem to thrive under stress and who are the people that seem to crumble. And there were four C's that this one researcher found, and one was to double down in the sense of commitment to it. It's so easy to kind of back away and have the gears be disengage when you're feeling stressed, but to be able to be fully committed to that. And the only way you can do that is to have enough support in your life. We've been talking about it. Other people that seem to do well with changing their life, they see it as a challenge. You know, the idea that the impossible just takes a little longer. Out here in California, if you get halfway into the waves, you can be in what's called the impact zone, where you're just being dumped into a little bit of water. If you get a little further out, it's better for surfing, for body surfing, even for swimming. But by not being fully committed and taking that challenge, you're actually in more danger. And then that idea, we talked a little bit about what Coach John Wooden said, don't let what you can't do keep you from doing what you can. And I love to get up every day and say, you know, I'm waiting on this. I haven't heard from this. This is one of those unresolved areas of my life. What can I still do? Lord, show me what I can still do even with these unclosed loops in my life and my business. And then the idea of those who were more connected, the fourth C, they do much better. People, if you can't change your stress, you've got to increase the amount of support in your life. And let's just assume that stress will be there forever in different fashions. But it's not the great enemy unless we do not use the support that we have, because we can grow to handle stress better. We're not stressed out by a spelling bee like we used to be. We're not stressed out by riding a bike like we used to be. But we can grow in our ability. But we've got to have that support.
I'm still stressed out by spelling bees, Bill, just to let you
Maybe the math tests, the math quizzes are
Oh, man, the SAT. Or the graduate record exam. My goodness, I don't even remind you of that.
My wife's doing a trivia quiz at her school for the faculty, and she's stressed because she's afraid that she's going to be beat by some of the others.
I love it. Now, in your book, you say that we have offensive and defensive actions in our lives. And how do those impact us in our ability to change?
Well, you know, people can vary about what goes on what list, but I think we all know there are things that we do for maintenance. We clean our house, we pay our bills, we do a lot of things to keep things well-oiled, including some of the health maintenance. We go to the doctor. But then there's some things that we can do to grow the pie. If all you're doing is trying to spend less rather than figure out ways to grow your career, you're all defense, no offense. And some people are the opposite. They're all sales, 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 and they leave a wake behind them of unresolved things that they need to clean up, just hoping that the next big sale is going to make it all better. So there's a balance there that we have to recognize. I also want to add a concept that I've been writing about more recently, and I call it avoidactivity. Things that seem like you're doing good things, but they're really avoidant. And I can fill my afternoon with avoidactivity things regarding my business that need to be done, but probably not by me or probably not today. For example, in learning a new part of my business, I may need just to execute, or I could read 3 more books on it. I could listen to more podcasts on things. I could do lots of things that when at the end of the day, if I'm honest, I'm really avoiding the idea of going ahead. I'm afraid, and I can use a lot of intellectual ways to not get off the dime and do what I need to do. And I call those types of activities the idea that the good is the enemy of the best that we've heard. These are avoidactivity type of behaviors that we all do when we're scared, when we're making excuses, when we say we just need this, we need that. There's lots of ways to proceed even when we don't have everything we need. And Bill, that's where we have to say, fire your excuses. We all need to do it.
All right. Bill Diamond, our guest here on the Faith Radio Network. And Bill, I know we have a copy of your book to give away, both a hard copy and a Kindle copy. If you'd like a copy of Bill's book, Fire Your Excuses, just send me an email right now at drbill@myfaithradio.com. drbill@myfaithradio.com. If you're the first person, send us your contact info. We'll give one person a hard copy of the book and one person a Kindle. And Bill, you have a free self-assessment available that will help people identify their excuses. How do they take that?
You just go to fireyourexcuses.com, and Marcus and I are excited about this. We've had 1,200 people take it. It's absolutely free, and you get a 20-page report on the 8 areas of excuses in your life, your total excuse score, your offense and defense score, and what you can do about it. So I think people will find it helpful to see where their excuses lie.
What if I go there and I get really scared with the results, Bill?
Then you might have an excuse when it comes to learning about what you need to do in your life.
All right. Thank you, my friend. We appreciate your time. Dr. Bill Diamond here on the Faith Radio Network. Have a great day, Bill.
Thank you.